This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is May 30th, 2018. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my lovely co-host, Fran Storch.
Hey.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, please call at 860-486-9487. Or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or you can visit and comment on Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. So Ron's rant of the week is going to be in connection with a guest that I have on today. So we'll get to our guest here in just a minute, but I'm going to start out very quickly with misuse of trails, not giving back to the trails that you ride on every day. And the big question, which we'll talk about maybe in the future here, e-bikes. Yes, electric assist bicycles on mountain bike trails. Kind of an interesting thing. It's a subject that if you want to comment on it, just go to the Facebook page. We'd love to hear about it. Do you believe they should be there? Do you believe they shouldn't? From the New England Mountain Bike Association site, access in New England has always been based on the fundamental understanding that mountain biking is a non-motorized form of recreation on par with hiking, cross-country skiing, trail running, etc. As a non-motorized sport, those in charge of our public lands manage mountain biking using the same guidelines and practices as other non-motorized user groups, though there are still many parks which ban mountain biking. All in all, we are fortunate that there are a myriad of opportunities for mountain biking in New England, but we need to keep in mind that this is because of the bedrock advocacy principle that mountain biking is a non-motorized form of recreation. So, do you believe that we should have motorized vehicles on our trails? That's definitely a touchy subject, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Moving on from there, on a positive side, well, because my guest is from the New England Mountain Bike Association, on a positive, I'm gonna be a big shout out to NEMBA. And NEMBA is an organization you can go to. NEMBA.org is what you're going to look for online, and you can kind of follow along with us if you're listening to the show right now and see exactly what it is that they do. They've got a lot of stuff going on. They have a lot of organization, and there's also a Quiet Corner NEMBA, which is our region's NEMBA organization. And again, we'll move to that in a moment. The maintenance minute, I was told that if you're riding a mountain bicycle, and I may have you just jump in here on this one, Stacy, because this is interesting. You said two things to bring with you on your mountain bike that are very helpful. One was zip ties, and the other was electrical tape?
Electrical tape, yes.
Electrical tape. All right. So why?
Zip ties are kind of like the duct tape in mountain bike world. Duct tape's not a bad thing either, but okay. Electrical tape is smaller. It helps with shredded cables, can hold on a lot of things, and zip ties can pretty much. I've fixed broken brake levers, shifters, derailleurs with zip ties. So you can fix a lot of things with a zip tie, hold it on, at least get you out of the woods.
I love it. I love it. That's great. I'm going to come back to you in just a minute here. I have to go over a couple of things. First of all, the Giro. If you've been watching the Giro d'Italia, oh my God, we had an epic Giro this year. Yeah, it's Froome. Chris Froome pulled it off in the 11th hour, stage 19. Froome launched a devastating attack with 80 kilometers to go, and 80 kilometers to go is a long distance. And he even said, I don't think I've ever attacked with 80 kilometers to go like that before on my own and got all the way to the finish. I just felt it was now or never. The legs were feeling good, and I've never been feeling better and better as the race has gone on. This, he put 3 minutes on the field. He put even more on Simon Yates, who was, he lost. Simon Yates blew up big time, lost 35 minutes in that stage. Crazy, crazy stuff. So why am I bringing this up? Well, I've been following the Giro all the time. I love this race. There are only two other cyclists in history, Eddy Merckx and Stephen Roche, who have won all three of the big events. That would be the Tour of Italy, Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France, which most people know about, and also the Vuelta a España, which is the Tour of Spain. And now Chris Froome is another one of those. So I'll move on that. I might have some things to comment on next week. There have been some controversial things about Mr. Froome, and we can talk about that another time. So we're going to move right to my special guest. My special guest is Stacy Jimenez, and you are from Pomfret, Connecticut, and you're the president of the Quiet Corner of NEMBA. Is that correct?
Quiet Corner chapter, correct.
Quiet
we have 30
chapter.
Chapters within NEMBA.
30 chapters in New England alone?
Throughout New England, yep. It's
really?
New England Mountain Bike Association. So
that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming, Stacy. This is awesome.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. And I know we have you here because you have an event this weekend. We'll talk about that in a bit. But before we go there, I like to ask all guests that are new to the show if you could just relate to me the first thing you can remember about being on a bicycle.
The first thing I remember, I remember having a tricycle, you know, the old school ones the two stairs.
in the back with the two steps? Oh, yeah. You
I
had
don't
the,
remember
like, the
riding
deluxe
it.
Model.
My first memory of riding a bike would be the day I took my training wheels off.
Yeah.
One training wheel was broken off. And there was some big event. I remember there was a lot of people. My parents were busy, and my dad was too busy to put the other one back on. So stubborn me went out and decided to ride with all the kids in the neighborhood anyway. And I remember not hearing that typical sound of your training wheel helping you. And I looked down, and it wasn't. I was riding without it.
Yay.
So I ran back to my dad, and then he had time. He took it off, proud dad moment.
Yeah, very proud dad moment. That's great.
And off I went. So it's kind of been the challenge ever since, is overcoming the challenges of cycling and what it throws at you and relating that and keep going.
And you haven't looked back, have you? You're
nope.
Just riding. So I'm assuming that because you are the president of the Quiet Corner NEMBA, that your mountain biking is your passion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you ride one of those crazy bikes with the skinny tires on the road, or do you stay away from the roads?
I do road ride.
You do?
I was a road rider for several years when there wasn't a ton of people around to bike with in the woods, or that you could find before Facebook really took on and you found all these groups
right.
and all these people to ride with. I'd ride once in a while in the woods, but mostly on the road I would keep it up. I grew up in the woods, but the roads in the meantime.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have a road bike.
Okay. All right. Well, I grew up in the woods, too. I grew up on a farm. So I used to ride my bike in the woods on the little trails off in the woods, little cow paths that were out in the woods. And so I spent a lot of time riding in the woods more than I did on the road. But then I've flipped over. I've gone to the dark side. So I am one of those. So anyway, one of the reasons we brought you in here is because you have a big event coming up this weekend, and I think it's part of the Trails Day weekend, the state one. Is that correct?
We're not listed
in
the book. We do it in coordination with Friends of Goodwind events. We're not actually part of the Trails Day weekend anymore.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm the president of the Friends of Mansfield Hollow State Park, and so I have a Trails Day hike that I'm leading on.
I saw that posted today.
Yeah, again, another thing. So, but Goodwin State Forest, I love the Goodwin State Forest. I love
Goodwin
it out
is a
there.
Special place.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. You know, I in the wintertime, should we have snow, it holds the snow better than some of the other places do, and there's never anyone there. Although you'll go there, and the parking lot is packed with cars. And you never see anyone when you're out there because it's such a beautiful spot. And everybody's off in different directions. And so the Goodwin is kind of a special place. Do you ride there mostly? Do you ride all around?
Personally, I ride all over. I ride all throughout New England and beyond. Race downhill mountain bikes, so it keeps us traveling. Goodwin, our chapter, actually has a ride there every Monday. It
nice.
Is a mellow Monday ride, so if you're a weekend warrior and have tired yourself out, it's a good way to have a recovery ride, but it's also open to beginners and people that are looking for a more relaxed pace, relaxed style of mountain biking. Goodwin, as you said, is a special place. It has the airline trail that runs through it as well. So there is literally something for everyone at Goodwin State Forest.
Yeah, it's a great spot. I love it out there. It's just, there's a large variety of trails, too, that have been there for a long, long time. Because I've lived in this area for a really long time. And I was always amazed that you could, if you didn't really know where you're going, you could get slightly lost out there. Or find yourself way further away from where you started.
Absolutely. Goodwin was a logging forest originally. And when it was deeded to the state, it was deeded as a recreational forest to continue logging but allow recreation and no hunting. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place year-round, regardless of hunting season. But it does abut Natchog State Forest.
Yes, it does, where when you cross over that Natchog Forest line, there's live ammunition flying around
during
you
hunting
during
season,
certain
absolutely.
Times of the year. Yeah,
and sometimes they don't know their boundaries. So if you stay in on the Blaze Trails, it keeps you away from Natchog. But you can travel. Our ride does venture out into Natchog. Mm-hmm. We want to show everyone the best that the two have to offer. So it is quite an epic adventure if you take on the full loop.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I used to live right off Route 198 in Chaplin, and I would cross over onto Natchog Street and then go up, I think it's Marcy Road, and pick up the Blue Dot Trail. And I could do a loop out all the way around the Goodwin Forest and then back through the Natchog and back. It was just incredible.
It's a beautiful area.
It's vast. I mean, there's a lot. It's the second largest state forest in the state of Connecticut is what Natchog is. And I think Goodwin is technically part of Natchog, right?
Goodwin and Natchog are separate properties.
They are?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. But it's very cool. So when you say beginner, I just want to, like, try to define this to some of our listeners out there so that you don't end up with, I don't know what level you're talking about. So can you define that?
We do open beginner up to families and kids because the airline trail is there. Mm-hmm. Bring a helmet, bring your bike. We hope that it's a working bike.
That helps.
And if we have to, we'll take people out for a ride on the airline. It's really about getting out of the house, getting on a bike, and enjoying the forest and everything that the state has provided for us to, offer and enjoy. So with the airline trail, there's also a lot of the old logging roads in Goodwin that are now Blaze Trails. So those offer, a more mellow ride.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you can pretty much do any level in there.
That's pretty cool. So tell me a little bit more about NIMBA. Can anyone join or be involved?
Absolutely. NIMBA has been around since, I believe 87. Now you're putting me on a pop quiz.
That's okay. It's all right.
And it was actually the began by a woman who wanted to advocate for mountain biking on trails. The human-powered aspect of mountain biking, if trails are meant for human-powered, we're not, the bike is a human-powered machine. It's not the same as an electric bike, as you previously alluded to. Dirt bikes and other features, obviously. In the state of Connecticut, we do have the Blue Blaze, the official Blue Blaze trails are technically hiking only. And beyond that, most trail systems are multi-use and open to any non-motorized traffic.
Right, right. So that brings us to that touchy little subject that I brought up earlier. And I couldn't resist when I saw it. Now, I have to bring this up and see how you feel about this. Because, I like e-bikes a lot. I think e-bikes are really cool. It's put a number of my aging friends and other people back on bicycles again. And it has made it so that they can be, out getting some exercise. Because you really do have to pedal them because they're pedal assist.
Right.
So they're, pedal assist. So, but there is a really gray area here with them being off-road because of, the legal restrictions of having a motorized vehicle. I don't want to see a motorcycle on a mountain bike trail or a hiking trail. I don't want to know about that. And yet, where do we draw the line? So you can express your opinion if you'd
there,
like.
There. Well, I've been on an e-bike. It was really fun. It was definitely giggly.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the first time you ride a fat bike. Like, what is this toy?
Right, right.
But with, the stance with Nimba and the stance, my personally is I want to continue to ride my bike and I don't want to be lumped in with something that's not allowed as we were years ago with dirt bikes. So I want to continue my access that we've fought decades for. And I don't want to be lumped in. So the state rule, their laws right now is where it's non-motorized, it's non-motorized, and that includes e-bikes. There are motorized trails. There's like 70 miles of motorized trails in Patchogue State Forest.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Wow. All the dirt roads in the state forests that are open to vehicles open to e-bikes. So anywhere, there's e-road bikes.
Right.
So those are great. They're absolutely allowed on the road.
Sure.
There is some state statute and legislate that is being worked on as to where e-bikes are officially now with legislation allowed in the state that was presented. I believe they did decline to have them on natural surface trails.
Okay.
So that is in the works. That'll be actually up for vote, I believe, come in November.
Oh,
but
no
it,
kidding.
It did pass through and it is in the works. So see that coming out.
Yeah, that's interesting. So is NEMBA involved with that sort of thing? Is that something that organization?
We did get involved when it was originally presented. It was presented to have e-bikes allowed on bike paths and bike trails. And it was kind of vague. Mm-hmm. As to how it was presented, we worked with the appropriate people to work on the wording mm-hmm. and how it was going to be when it was officially presented, how it would be presented. And that's where the natural surfaces came in to play.
Right, because there's concern about it. I know because people are now using the Airline Trail and the Hop River Trail mm-hmm. and others to commute on.
Correct.
So they're riding their bikes to work, which, big shout out to anybody who rode their bike
Absolutely.
To work this month because it was National Bike Month and it's a good thing. But, there's a number of people that are using e-bikes for that now because they can ride to work and not be really
completely sweaty.
And
commute
so,
further.
Faster. And you can get there a little bit faster. You can average speed a little bit
Absolutely.
Higher too. So there's definitely a bonus to it. But I went to a trails. It was one of the trail advocacy for the Airline Trail and mm-hmm. the whole Greenway. That's what it was, the Greenway. I went to a Greenway meeting a number of years ago at Eastern Connecticut State University, and there were members there from the Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. and there were also members there from the DEEP. And at that point, it was kind of like, so who is in charge of these trails? And the DOT said, well, we've kind of given them to the DEEP. And so
Correct.
They're under DEEP jurisdiction. So I brought up a point, which is an interesting point, because and we can certainly have this discussion because I'm sure you're one of those who does this, as I am too. If I am riding on that trail at night, am I legal or am I illegal? And if I'm using it for commuting, am I legal or am I illegal? And the answer is you're illegal. If
right,
you're riding
it's
a state
park
at night.
And all state parks are closed at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's another one that your organization
Except
should
for
work
fishing.
On. Except for that. And you know what? I know people that will take a small fishing rod and they'll strap it onto the back of their bike.
It is something we've joked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing that I have also invited people, I live at Mansfield Hollow. So our land butts up against Mansfield Hollow State Park. And, of course, they were ticketing people a number of years ago, back when the mountain bike craze was really big. Everything mm-hmm. was really building. It was like late 80s, early 90s. And so, actually, it was more into the 90s because I didn't own the house until the middle of the 90s. But anyway, I told people that, don't ride at Mansfield Hollow after dark. They sit and they look for the cars sitting in the parking lot with the bike racks on them, and they just wait for you. And when you get out, you get a $100 fine for riding your bike in the park after dark. So I invited everybody to just park in my driveway. And you're dropping on the, dropping trails right behind my house.
Why are you saying this on the air?
I probably shouldn't be saying this on the air. But the point
is, I live right outside of Natchog. We do the same thing.
Because it's a ridiculous law. It's a stupid law. But it well, you know, I mean, I understand why they may not want to have everyone in a state park after dark. But they'll allow you to be in a boat after dark on the water. And to me, it seems like that would be a far more dangerous situation than to be on a trail. But, you know, that's all I can say.
It is something that has come up several times, and a lot of people have brought it up and want to argue the fact. I understand the liability. I work in insurance. I understand the liability factors on it.
Yeah.
If you are going to be open at night, one, you have to have the manpower. And the state doesn't have the budget for the funding be, you know, rescuing people at night. There's people that get lost during the day that cannot follow the blaze trails. So, you know, they'd have to have people on staff to perform rescues at night, emergency needs at night, and to monitor at night. And they don't have that, obviously. As you get into the night, you have partying, which they already combat in our dense forest. They have to go out and check out that stuff. And what is your liability if you're walking close to a cliff but you couldn't see it because it's dark? Do they now have to put lights out there or railings out there? So I think it brings up a lot of things and a lot of things they would have to put into some sort of legislative law and rules, you know, underlining that liability and where the state is liable and where they're not.
Right.
As you see, there are several state parks that have yearly accidents.
Right.
Old Furnace being one. Someone usually falls off the cliff each year. I believe Miller Pond, there's usually a drowning each year.
Yeah.
Or close to it. There are a couple of them that are constantly in the news.
And then what's that? There's the one out in Avon there. There's one, Pomeroy Park, is that what it's called or something? It's over there near, you know where the Hoobline Tower is? You know where the Hoobline Tower?
I do not.
It's on the top of Avon Mountain, and it runs along this ridge line, and it's a really cool, there's this huge tower that was built there years ago by someone who had a lot of money, and they built a party tower. and it's this huge tower, and on the top room, way up high, you look down over the valley, both out into the Farmington Valley and then over into the Hartford Valley. You can see this unbelievable panoramic view. Windows all the way around, and they built it as a party house. That was the whole point. But it sits up on top of this ridge, and I mean, it's a cliff.
Yeah,
it's a big cliff. You know, the other place is Meriden Mountain. Also, Meriden is the other one that has an accident or two per year
regularly.
And
that place where that lady went, where we stayed at the bed and breakfast.
The place where the lady went.
Yeah, New Jersey. That scary place.
That's the mountain bike park. You would know about this. You know where the mountain park bike park is in Vernon, New Jersey, I'm sure.
Mountain Creek.
Yes. Yeah. I know more people have been hurt there. I don't, you know. But then again, you know, you're going there with the intent to do what you're doing, and there's a possibility you get hurt.
Absolutely.
I heard you say something about racing mountain bikes downhill.
Yeah, I race both two of the gravity sports. I race downhill mountain biking, which is usually the steepest and fastest way down the mountain. And then I race enduro, not confused with endurance. Enduro is almost like a stage downhill, not as steep, longer tracks, and there is some pedaling involved. but it's usually a 5-stage gravity fed race.
How long you been doing this?
A couple years.
Couple years?
Not when I was young.
how's your success rate?
First year I was the Cat 3. I was a beginner champion.
Nice.
The next year I was the runner up.
Mm-hmm.
I lost to a 15-year-old who is now racing pro, which I supported her all year long. She was awesome.
Right.
And she is doing great. So it was fun. I enjoy it. We bought a house last year, so I was a little bit off the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy the gravity-fed sports. I'm not as much of a cross-country rider. I do it, but I'm definitely not fast.
Are you a downhill skier, too?
No.
No. No. Just on the bike. Wheels.
On the bike.
Wheels. Rubber side down, please.
It's the challenge.
Right.
Going back to that challenge.
Man. I, you know, I... for many, I've been in the bicycle industry for my entire life, and so there used to be a World Cup up at Mount Snow.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're familiar with that. And back when I was going to that, there was a guy by the name of John Tomac who pretty much owned that world of downhill racing, and it was insane to watch what they were doing. It was absolutely insane. I mean, they said that they had a gun on them, and they were hitting 50 miles an hour off-road.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the old-school open ski field courses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have, like, loose screws up there, or what?
I'm not hitting 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
In the 30s.
Yeah.
Not 50.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I'm impressed. That just frightens me to no end. I mean, I could get
it's
enough.
Part of the thrill.
Yeah, I got that. I can get enough of a rush on my cross bike going down a real steep drop off that most people look at me and go, "How do you ride down that?" And it's like, just don't think about it.
Bikes have come a long way.
Courses
have changed. And
you're right. You're right. Bikes have certainly come a long way. You must have a lot of travel on your mountain bike.
Yep. My downhill bike has 8+, and my cross country, my enduro bike is over 6 inches of travel.
Wow. Wow. No, that's crazy. That's crazy. I can't imagine. It's like a motorcycle almost. It's close.
From what I understand, we have better suspension.
Oh, really?
That's what I've been told.
Well, that's good. That's good. So how long did it take you to figure out how to do this? Do you have like off-road background, like motorcycle type background? Or
No.
Just decided one day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ride a bicycle down a hill as fast as I can.
Well, when I got into, I found some people to mountain bike with. I practiced obviously your skills on level ground in your cross country, and there was several people that wanted to go up to the mountains to park ride the smoother. Mm-hmm. You know, there's smooth trails as well are gravity fed that are fun. When we got into that, we got into the bigger bikes. My boyfriend said, well, he used to downhill race, and let's go do this. So we did. And he got back into the scene. I entered the scene. And most of the time the challenge was getting down the mountain, figuring out the course.
Right.
Figuring out how to get through and getting down in one piece and not crashing. And
Right.
As fast as you can.
Right. There's a lot of quick reaction read, too. I mean, you're really looking, you know.
It does. It, you know,
10 seconds ahead of where you really are going to be, right?
The difference, I mean, even with mountain biking, cyclocross, road biking, you're cross training.
Right.
Your different skills.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're cross training your cadence and everything on the road, picks up your speed. And when you take that into the trail, all of a sudden you've got that constant pedal endurance. And then being able to cross country ride and go through flat rock gardens, but then now bringing that into the mountain, you're going faster, it's gravity fed, you better be now looking further down the trail and calculating things a little bit quicker.
yeah life comes at you fast when you're doing when you're riding off road, bouncing over things. And so as a downhill racer, and you're going down a hill, and you're obviously going to have situations where maybe you're not quite in the control that you want to be in.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
So how do you combat that?
I usually have to mute my GoPro footage after the race. There's a lot of things mumbled during the race.
I see. So there are things that come out that some verbal stuff that needs
verbal
to,
cues, correct?
You're right.
Talking to myself, correcting myself.
Funny.
And I've actually listened, I think, less of it is said out loud than I think it is sometimes, but I did watch a video of a pro racer one time where everything was out loud, and basically everything I say to myself, you know, relax, calm down, it's okay. Even if you crash, just get up, keep going. You don't know the person you're, you know, it's a one and done, maybe 3-minute course.
Right.
So you don't know if they've had a bad run or not. So just, you got to get up and keep going and go as fast as you can and get through it.
Right.
And you have to remain calm. So a little bit of yoga and meditation beforehand to kind of relax. I do have struggle with anxiety a little bit. So it is with that stuff, I'm able to just breathe and relax before a race to kind of bring down my heart rate.
Yeah.
And then go. So that's a great thing that I like about it, too. It actually teaches me to work with that.
Zen and the art of riding a bicycle at breakneck speed down a hill.
Yeah.
Literally breakneck.
Yeah. Yes, literally breakneck. Well, that's the problem. You see, I've known a number of people who have been hurt. Fran referenced a, we stayed at a bed and breakfast over in Warwick, New York.
Yes.
Was it last year that we stayed
yes.
there? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the woman that was, I looked her up and
she was our Airbnb,
on the Airbnb
host.
And I looked and she's a triathlete and a mountain bike rider. And I'm thinking, well, this is going to be perfect. You know, we're going to go hang out with the bike person for
right.
this because we're there with a, with the Farm to Fork Fonda with a, mm-hmm. An event, a bicycle event, road event that's there. So, I just thought it'd be great. We had lots of communication beforehand, you know, can't wait to meet you. We get there. I get this email and it says, the key is in the basket. I can't be there. Someone will check in on you later. I'm in the hospital. And she had crashed her mountain bike over at Mountain Creek, flipped over the bars, broke her back in three places.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Not so good. Not so good. So, you know, these things can happen, I guess.
Yep. Safety gear is important.
Safety gear is
like
important.
Like a helmet.
Do you wear like a Denise suit and all that?
I do wear like a full motorcycle off-road suit.
Yeah.
So mine is a bit. Yep. So underneath that.
What
is?
What are you looking at? Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Underneath that is a full armor
right.
suit. So,
right.
and it has a full back plate. I have landed on my back. I've had the bike come over and flip over and mm-hmm. like smack you in the back. So,
yeah, that's
you
not
know,
good.
Safety is definitely key.
Yeah. And the fine art of knowing how to fall and what you do when you're in the process of falling. You know, I talk to people about this a lot.
Tuck and
because
roll.
Tuck and roll. You got it. Making balls bounce and roll and books go splat. Yeah,
yep.
right. Exactly. So, you know, I learned that from racing on the road. And I mm-hmm. actually had a couple of my friends that took me out into the front yard and maybe
practice, tuck
run
and
roll. As fast as I could and then just dive to the ground and tuck and roll and tumble in the yard without my bike.
Right.
And just tumble around just to get, and I looked at my friends and I said, what are you doing? And they said, you'll see.
Well, I mean, our first
moment,
reaction is to catch
will
ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
And you're not going to catch yourself when you're going at speed. You're going to break an arm, break a wrist.
You'll break a collarbone.
Absolutely.
In a matter of seconds. Yeah.
Bone.
Have you done that yet?
No.
No? Good for you. Wow. How about other bones?
I broke my face in two places.
Your face?
Yes.
Well, that's not a lovely thing to break, is it?
I have a plate that goes across my face.
No, it is
no
a lovely
way.
Thing to break.
Well, it is a lovely. You're right. It is a lovely thing to break. So you weren't wearing a full face helmet at the time?
I was cross country riding.
Yeah.
You know, things happen. It's like any other sport, things happen.
True.
I hit a hole and I was actually descending. So, mm-hmm. One, I already had momentum going forward, mm-hmm. But from descending, and I had let off the brakes, so I had some speed. And when I went over the top of a rock, there was actually a hole on the other side.
Oh,
so instead of just coming to the ground and going,
it went deeper.
Yep.
And yeah,
and now it flipped so fast I could have been a mousetrap. And I actually did the whole scorpion thing. Skip. I was actually clipped in back then. The bike was over the top of my head and going down the trail faster than I was,
mm-hmm.
and my face was dragging along.
You said clipped in back then. Do you not ride with clips with clipless pedals anymore?
I ride flat pedals.
You do?
I do.
Well, you're one of those.
I am one of those.
Yeah, and that works better
for
you.
I can do both.
Yeah.
I took some time off the mm-hmm. clipless to work on form.
Right.
And flat pedals is a great way to work on your skills.
It teaches you
to weight the bike properly,
mm-hmm.
makes you stand. Because you got to have the weight on those pedals and keeps the weight lower on the bike. I had to relearn some things, relearn how to get over logs and
mm-hmm.
relearn how do you stay on these
pedals. Oh, right,
because
you can't jump up,
right.
You can't pull up.
You don't
yeah.
pull up,
yeah.
you have to scoop up.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a learning curve again. So it was kind of
okay.
like being a beginner again. But I enjoyed it, and I enjoy the fact I feel more in control of the bike. So.
Wow. I have a couple of road friends who have said that they've gone to flat pedals, that they no longer
use. I don't
use.
Flat pedal on the road.
No, I wouldn't either. I don't understand it, but that's what they say they do. They just, you know, they learned how to pull through without
yep.
having a clip or a strap or anything around their foot.
There's been a lot of studies on it, and you, if you have the proper technique, you can do a full circle without, without just pushing.
Yeah.
You can do a full full rotation.
So this is a lot of practice. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know I teach it with people that have clipped in cleated shoes, and I talk to them about the four components of a pedal stroke, pushing through the top, pushing down, pulling through the bottom, pulling up, and you get that big but you want to make it fluid all the way around.
Right. So
but
it should just be one movement.
Right. Right. It should be. And you want to make it
there.
Super smooth. Right, 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 right. And again, practice, I guess. But that pulling through thing, people forget about that. They forget how to do that. Boy, if you put them on a flat pedal, they got to figure it
out. You pull right
out quick.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flat pedals, if you have the proper pedals and proper shoes.
See, now you have my curiosity here. So when you're pulling through, you must be pointing your toe down a little bit to do that, right? You're scooping.
Yeah, you're like scooping it back up.
Okay. Wow. How long did it take until you figured it out?
The pedaling wasn't hard. It was working in rock gardens and not coming off and being able to scoop it. The scoop on getting over a log, I get the front tire over, scooping the back over. I'm like, I was used to lifting my legs.
Oh,
so
yeah. You got to change
everything. I had to
learn
how to scoop. YouTube, BMX videos.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, BMX kids are amazing.
And that's a lot of the skill is there.
And I've seen, these BMX kids, and they can just be at a standing, they can be at a standstill and leap the bike up into the air. And it's, how do you do that? Oh, we got to push on the handlebars, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And it's like, whoa.
It's incredible. Okay. There's a lot of skills you can learn in a parking lot that you can transfer. It can save you on the road, and it can definitely get you through the woods.
Oh, you have no idea how many times I've jumped over bodies in the road. When you're in a bike race. you're in a bike race and a big crash happens, you have an alternative. You can either go off the road or you can go down or you can
bunny hop them.
Right. So I got real good at it.
See, cyclocross training.
That's where it came from. It came from cross. Yeah, it came from cyclocross because that's my fun little passion. I love to do that. That's kind of a fun thing. I don't race it anymore, but I just feel right when I'm on my cross bike. It just feels good. Cool. Flat pedals. I would really have to, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. We're talking old dog, new tricks here. But then again, my friend Bruce, Bruce Miller, if he's listening, hello, Bruce. I think he's on flat pedals now. He told me about it a couple of years ago, and he rides the road on flat pedals and said, once you go there, you won't go back. And I don't know. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. But it is safer when you have to remove yourself from your bicycle quickly, I suppose.
It can be. I mean, like I said, the proper flat pedals and proper shoes, you're not coming out that easy.
No.
So they're made to stick and they're made to keep you in place. And you have to literally lift your foot straight off to adjust. So if you have it, I've gone off a bridge, fallen about 12 feet and into the woods, and I didn't have my shoe. My shoe was actually still stuck to the pedal.
Really?
Yep.
You pulled out of the shoe?
Pulled out of the shoe.
Oh, my God.
During the fall. So as I fall, was the bike and I fell, I put the shoe pulled right off.
That's amazing.
And it was still stuck to the pedal.
Wow.
It wasn't clipped in.
Wow. Hey, Fran, you ready to try this?
What?
No, she doesn't like the whole mountain bike experience at all.
Well, I only tried it once and I fell.
Did Fran's comment to mountain biking was it was really nice because you can look up and see blue sky all the time.
Yes, you can look at the trees and you can just relax and
Laying on the ground.
It's very peaceful in the woods.
Yeah, she didn't have as good of experience. I think I took you to one of the Pedro's mountain
bike festivals?
Yeah,
you took me to the Pedro Mountain Bike Festival and I tried it and I just didn't do very well. You know, I'm really looking at this fun ride and I'm wondering if it's something I could handle. If it's just rail trail and log roads, I might be able to handle it.
There you go. So
there's going to be a big a lead ride for beginners at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So absolutely. You know, they kind of tailor it to who's coming out and what skills they have. And
I have a gravel grinder. Will that work?
The airline trail, absolutely. And some of the logging roads, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we ride that. I mean, we ride on the airline trail all the time because it's like literally less than 2 miles from our house.
Well, and we ride in that really bumpy stretch in Hampton. We grumble about it, but we do it. And I find it really good as primarily a road cyclist. I find the really bumpy bits in riding off-road, it's really excellent for handling skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's on the schedule to be fixed this year, that section.
Yes, it is.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Do you know Matt Quinn?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I talked to Matt about that about 2 weeks ago. He was at my house for a Friends of Mansfield Hollow meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it's on schedule this summer. We're going to do it. Fran says not soon enough.
A lot of us say not soon enough.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's happening is they're going to start working on the gas on the sewer line going from Pomfret Station into Putnam,
mm-hmm.
which is going to then become the airline trail because they're using the same trail.
Correct.
To put that through.
That'll be nice if we can ride from our house all the way to Putnam. That will be super cool.
And I heard there's going to be 3 bridges that are going to be added onto that.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a total of 5.
Oh, maybe it's 5. Maybe it is.
I know the funding adjusted a little bit, so we'll see how they deal with that.
Well, one of them is supposed to go over 169,
correct.
Which is, that's a big span.
Yeah, it's a DOT grant,
mm-hmm.
and it has to comply with people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not allowed to have more than a 5% grade. And as you know, from Pomfret Station down to the road and back up, it's well more than a 5% grade.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yep.
So all of those road crossings have to be adjusted to keep a lesser grade to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some of those grades on the airline trail, you know, there's some of those places, closer to Willimantic or in Columbia where there's really steep pitches to get up and down the road. Are they compliant?
I don't think so.
Well, so the grant they had to fix this section has to be compliant with the grant.
So these were probably created long enough ago that that wasn't really as much of an issue.
So to use this grant, the work they do in the section they're doing has to be compliant for that.
Yeah. Some of those pitches are ridiculous. Down by Kings Road and close to Willimantic in Lebanon, there's really steep pitches to get to the rail trail.
As well as in Putnam.
Yeah.
The end in Putnam.
Oh gosh,
they're not fixing that because they looked at
not.
It and it would take a mile or so, even I forget what the engineer said, to fix that grade to where they need to be for that grant.
Really?
It's so steep. Absolutely.
It's really steep. Yeah. Yeah.
And
what are they going to do there? Do you know what they're going to do?
Nothing.
They're not going to do anything
at that point.
Really?
At this time, they've got a lot ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
We want the rail trail to get to Putnam and be so good for Putnam because people
would be great for Putnam.
Oh my goodness, because people would ride there and go to the I would do
I've
it.
I've discussed it with the economic development people that are working with downtown Putnam and working on the overall layout for tourism. So that's something they're going to look at in their project.
Right.
So maybe they can come up with a solution there.
How many people would get on their bikes and just ride to Putnam and, go to one of the cafes?
It would help your parking problem.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it helps a lot of parking problems. You know, 10 bicycles take up the space of one parallel parked car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my big
There's
cause.
Already a lot of road cycling out of Putnam. So.
There is.
Yes.
There is. Yeah,
and I love that airline trail north.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they said 2 or 2.5 years, and that's going to be done too.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, because they got to put the gas line.
So it's going to be closed for a while.
It's a sewer line, water line is what it is. Yeah.
Correct.
So
it'll be closed from Pomfret Station to Putnam?
Correct. I think they're going to do it in sections
as
they're working, but yes, it's going to be closed while they're working.
Yeah.
So, but it'll still be, it'll be great.
But it's not developed from Pomfret Station to Putnam right now.
Well, no, there's trees in the middle of the trail.
Yeah.
It's
a little mountain biking.
It's a little messy down there.
I mean,
there's definitely some tricky. I went riding down there one day on my cross bike just to see, what if I can get through here? I could, but not many people could unless you had a mountain bike.
And a lot of patience.
Yeah. Yeah, but then again, I used to ride on the airline trail up to Pomfret before they fixed it, and I'll tell you,
it was rough.
It was an adventure.
In the sand,
and especially the sand, and then in the winter, it would get all flooded over.
Yep.
And so there was, really, really deep mud.
Yep.
And I remember riding up there. One, we did like a January ride or something like that. So it was ice, and there was, you know.
It's not perfect now, let me tell you. I've ridden on ice and mud. And
there are sections that have some water. They're working on it. They know they have to work on the drainage on the side. Those little drainage.
Yes, just have to keep excavating the sides, because the sides, they fill in after a while.
They do, obviously, with the leaves and everything else.
We're talking even in Chaplin. Yeah. It's just really close to our house. It's still, it floods over and you ride through ice.
They just need to scrape it. Is all they need to do, because it was fine before that. But before that, I used to ride it, and it was not so fine. You know, I've always been using a cross bike, and my wheel would go in, you know, 4 inches or so down. And
I use a bid fat for the winter.
Yeah. So you got. I was going to ask that question. Do you have a fat bike?
I have a mid fat.
A mid fat. Okay.
Yeah. So. Right. 3-inch tire, and I've commuted on the airline trail through snowstorms with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. And it was good enough to do?
Oh, yeah.
Studded or not studded?
Not studded.
Wow. Wow. You go, girl.
Just less torque.
Oof. Yeah.
Feel that
less
ice.
Less torque, right.
A little less torque.
Don't spin that
Let
wheel.
It roll.
Right. I got it. Holy cool. Wow. So your event. Let's go back to your event here, because we've got this event. It's on Saturday.
Yes.
Registration starts at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Okay. And guided beginner mellow group ride. Explain.
Don't say prices.
No prices. No, we're not doing that. I already had that conversation.
So there's three arrowed loops, which are show and go. You register and you just follow the arrows. The red loop is our short loop. It's 6 to 7 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great introduction to what Goodwin has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Takes you around and you come back and enjoy the potluck after.
Okay.
There's an intermediate loop that's about 15 miles. It takes you just into the tip of Natchog. So you'll get a taste of Natchog. You stop at our Tiki Water Stop, which we have some members that have a great fun with that. Liz Bove is heading that up again this year. And they made a great fun rest stop for people to refuel before finishing their ride or coming back from the long loop, which has grown in popularity the first year we did it. We have people come from all over New England, and they came down, 20 plus miles is going to be nothing. It's going to take them, you know, their 2 hour, whatever they do it, pace in. And it took them quite a while.
Oh, I'll bet.
They came back in absolutely exhausted, but smiling, loved the fact that they finished the challenge. It does get very bony out in Natchog.
So the long ride is 25 miles.
25 plus, yes.
Yeah, you'll be lucky if you're going much more than 6 miles an hour on a ride like, I mean, around here, because it gets real.
It gets bony.
Well, you don't use that that red-white trail, do you, along the lake?
The blue-white.
Is it a blue-white?
Yes.
Is that what it is? It's like,
so
it's
part of it
just
is
bouldery. It's,
part of it is definitely the very first section, and it says not recommended for horses. That section, that's not recommended for bikes either.
No, it's even hard to walk on.
I've snowshoed it.
I've snowshoed it too, yeah. Yeah.
So that one section is rough. If you come into it from the next couple sections, they are actually very bony, if that's the type of riding you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So bony means lots of roots and rocks? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. it's a mountain bike term.
Rocks, holes.
Right.
You're up on bridges. You're coming off a bridge while you're actually trying to get on the next one. So it's a lot of trials and balance out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great challenge section. So, yes, I ride it. Not everyone rides it.
You would ride it, but not everyone. I got that. I mean, I used to go out there with my friends with their mountain bikes. We go to Goodwin, and then we'd, you know, go all the way around, and we'd drop down to where you turn onto the blue-white trail to go north. And there's a pretty good, like, gravelly descent there.
Yep.
And my friends looked at me and said, "You're not going to make it down this." And I said, "Watch." And I went. And, you know, you just kind of have to. Don't use the brakes.
Oh, on that car road,
you
know, I could head towards Governor's Island.
Yeah,
right.
Go right down to Governor's Island. You got it. And you just let it go.
Yep.
You know, that's all, because if you touch the brakes, you're going to be in trouble, and you just kind of, you know, power.
You got to let it.
And power through it.
Got to let it roll with some of those rolling rocks.
Right. And you know, the old motocross rule, when in doubt, hit the gas. Not the brakes. Never the brakes. Brakes yep. just cause problems. And then plus they slow you down, so it's highly overrated. They just looked at me and said, how do you do that? And you can't think about it, I guess. You have to be thinking about it, but you can't think about it.
You can't
Does that make any
it.
Sense? Oh, don't overthink it. Thank you. That's much better. That works better. But then you make that turn, and you're heading north now.
On
and
the blue-white.
And it's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just there's a wheel trap every 5 to 10 feet that's just going to, wet, you know what I mean? It wedges yep. your front wheel, and then you can't turn because it'll slam you over.
Yep.
Or
you've got to know your lines. You got to be reading ahead.
Yes,
know where you're
always,
going.
Always.
Know and that's your where... lines. That's a very profound statement.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're on the road or the rail trail or a mountain bike trail. That's a really profound statement.
All right, let's get through this. Okay, so this looks like a blast. This looks like a really good time. It's at the Goodwin State Forest, 23 Potter Road in Hampton, Connecticut. It's Saturday, June 2nd. If you want more information, you can go to?
You can go to NIMBA.org, NEMBA. The event is listed under our events, the Quiet Corner Chapters events. It's also on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. Quiet Corner NIMBA
Saw
on
that.
Facebook.
Yep.
You can join. There is a post-ride potluck barbecue, so feel free to bring something. There is a survey on there, so you can let everyone know what you're bringing. We have a great time after the ride, talking, hanging out, discussing the ride, discussing... who went over the bars, who didn't.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Who's absolutely exhausted.
There's always good stories, right.
And who made a bad choice of taking on the long loop.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Okay, great. Well, hopefully we'll get some people out there to see this.
Absolutely, and definitely check out all of our weekly rides.
And then, I looked at your weekly rides. You have Mellow Mondays.
Correct.
And that's every Monday at 6 p.m., right, at Goodwin Forest. Back to Goodwin. You have a women's ride on Wednesday.
Yep, we have a women's intermediate ride every Wednesday. They move around, so they do post where they're going each week mm-hmm. In the Facebook group. And great group. They are very supportive of each other, always learning and getting out there and trying new things and riding together. We have another Wednesday ride that just started in May.
I just read that, yeah.
The camel ride, it's getting over the hump of the week. It's at Old Furnace State Park.
Oh, the camel ride. That's why it's the camel ride.
Got to bring your legs
yeah.
to that one. There's a lot of climbing there.
Yeah.
Because it's hump day.
Yeah, right. Yep. So it's a camel ride. And then you have a Saturday morning special.
Yep. Yeah. Saturday morning special is more of an endurance cross-country ride. It's mm-hmm. 15 to 20 miles. That also travels around, so it's posted where it's going to be, as well as the weekend warrior ride, which is actually where it all started. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of posting rides all the time, so we travel all over. Sometimes it's going to the mountains.
You guys sound very organized. It's really cool. That's a very cool thing. I'll ask you really, really quickly
yep.
before I have to sign us off here, but you've ridden in the kingdom, right?
I have.
Yeah. What do you think of the kingdom?
It's fun. It's flowy.
Okay.
I enjoy going there. I prefer Millstone.
Millstone?
Correct.
What's Millstone?
You got to look up Millstone. Millstone is a great, they have some great tech, but they also have a ton of bridges, a lot of skinnies. Very much more of a free ride type place
okay.
with, mixed in with the cross country. So
interesting.
More my style riding. I do enjoy Kingdom Trails, but I do prefer Millstone. It's about an hour away.
Okay.
Obviously, the Kingdom is everyone's realm around
right,
here.
Right, it's kind
for
of
riding.
The standard.
You definitely...
Right.
You'd like it.
Yeah.
They have smooth, great trails.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Their claim to fame is they couldn't find rocks if they bought them.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
But
that's
overall, our goal is advocacy. So the rides are how we get people involved in the advocacy for mountain biking and getting people onto trails, fighting for our access to trails, keeping our access to trails, and keeping the trails good. We just put one here in Mansfield with the town of Mansfield. And
I know that trail. Yeah, that's really close to our
Southworth
house.
Southworth Preserve, yeah.
Yep.
So we just put that in. That's a multi-use trail, and the town's doing a great job out here, actually. They are really promoting the multi-use more,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of learning. There was a lot of discussion going on with that, how mountain bikers and hikers and everyone could be on the same trails
right.
Together, and there was a lot of discussion. But we did put that in. It's going great. And overall, the goal, hopefully, is to connect all the state preserve lands with Mansfield Hollow, so you can have more of a destination and increase tourism.
That's great. That's great. Awesome, awesome. Stacy, this has been fun. This has been
Absolutely.
Really fun. We've run out of time. I mean, it just goes.
Goes
just
in a
like
flash.
That. Stacy Jimenez from the Quiet Corner NEMBA chapter of NEMBA, right?
Correct.
You'll come back. We'll do this again.
I
can see where we've just kind of like scratched on the surface of some of the stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this at another time. I have to go through a few things here just before we end up. I'd like to mention upcoming events. Obviously, we are definitely having one on June 2nd at 9 a.m. at the Goodwin Natural Ag Epic Fun Ride. And you want to check that out. Shortly after that, on June 10th, June 9th, we had the John Jackman Tour de Mansfield right here in Mansfield, Connecticut. And it is, boy, it's been going on for a long time now. This is our ninth year, something like that. Anyway, very nice road ride, 38 miles and 20 miles are the, and then there's also a campus cruise at like 7 miles too. And let's see, after that, we have the Ride Around the Quabbin, which is also in this area, King's Tour of the Quabbin, Saturday, June 16th, 2018. Not too much traffic, plenty of hills, and it's not a race. The Seven Lakes Ride, put together by our friends over here at Nearac Earth, that is Sunday, June 24th, 2018. 62 miles, 45 miles, 25 miles, and 20 miles. And I will have all these posted on the Facebook page, too. July 28th, 2018 is the Thread City Century Ride, which leaves from Edward Garrison Park in Chaplin, Connecticut. And on Saturday, August 18th, something that's near and dear to me because I've been involved with this for a long time, the Steeplechase Bike Tour. And the Steeplechase Bike Tour has a number of different rides, 5 different rides plus a 5-mile walk. And that is coming up on the 18th of August. And, of course, if you want to learn any more about bicycle racing or other outdoor activities that are related to bikes, I highly recommend going to bikereg.com, BIKEREG.com, and you'll find all sorts of events here in New England. My name is Pedalin Ron. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you've got a comment or if you'd like to contribute some information to the show or be on the show as a guest, yay, guests, send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. Thanks for listening.